Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
There was really no deals out there for him, but that deal, the Lakers basically said no to it. Jeannie Buss, she was like, no. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, man, we're having the Muggsy Bogues doing the double pump baseline dunk and, you know, Dominique doing the double windmill and all these cats. These cats are soft. They coddled, man. They're being coddled by everyone, man. It's terrible. And, Shasky, don't be coddling them little kids out there. You may slow line them up in a big circle and make them pass 200 times if they drop it, restart, or make them do a three-man weave for half an hour if they roll their eyes at you or anything like that. But let me tell you something, man. That cat on the Niners, man, he should be banned from the NFL like y'all was saying yesterday. Both still play the game of tag with you. Not it, because you're not it, brother. You are terrible, bro. You're not a leader. You're a brand guy. There's too many brand guys going on right now. But the whole thing about branding and, like, the caller from Vallejo said, he hit the nail on the head, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you like this, man. I got something special for y'all. This 95-7, this the game. If you slip, it's going down the drain. 6 a.m. with Bonte and Shasky. Spadone, I'm so laughing.
Keep it going.
They got the pass key. Just like Chef, we going coast to coast. It's Nick and Berkeley. You know I'm a roaster.
Woo! Hey, you finished strong there, Nick.
I think he dropped the bar so hard it stunned him. He did the Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole shook someone the other day.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did.
Okay, Jordan Poole shook someone. The
and pointed left, at
and
him.
Then pointed, and then the other guy closed out. He couldn't get the shot. So he had to swing it over.
Jordan Poole, man. I didn't see that.
It was hilarious.
Hey, man. My boy Craig Hoffman out there in D.C., he goes, Bonte, you talked up Jordan Poole so well that you had D.C. hyped about the pool parties. He goes, what a colossal failure it's been with Jordan Poole. I said, dude, I apologize. Look, PTSD does matter, if you know what I mean. PTSD does matter.
You talking to me?
The Celtics have more wins in Washington than the Washington Wizards do.
That cannot be true.
They didn't win a game in November.
That cannot be true.
The Wizards
true.
Have three wins in Washington, and the Celtics have three wins in Washington. The Wizards have two.
Dude,
that can't be true.
They didn't win a game in November.
I refuse to believe that.
They didn't win a game in November. They didn't win a game in November.
So they're like the Niners.
Pretty impressive feat by the Washington Wizards, if you know what I mean. It's like remarkable, right? It's remarkable. Ricky Pearsall ran 16 routes, only got three targets. So he's like, I don't know if that's remarkable. No, it is remarkable. How can you go through a game, a stretch like that? But Jordan Poole, man, he pointed at the guy.
It was great.
Oh, JP at the pool party. A lot of people want him back, though. A lot of people want him back.
Take him back in a heartbeat.
I bet. You're listening.
Yeah, Schroeder. Don't need him now.
Yeah, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG, FM, and HG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. It is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. 60 seconds of Celebrini in just a second. I want to get your thoughts on what Slater said. What's your big takeaway from Anthony Slater?
He really likes the Ricky Schroeder move. And I know. I know. I can't say it right. I know. Just
Schroeder.
Ricky. You just want Ricky Schroeder?
Yeah. Say Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah, I'm all.
Who's Ricky Schroeder again?
Well, that was from a TV show.
Not be confused with Dennis Pearsall.
Who said Dennis Pearsall?
No, he said Ricky Schroeder. So
I thought I said it. I was like, man, did I?
Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder. I really like.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
God, I'm getting old. It's, you know what it is? I'm going to blame it right now. It's all the allergy medicine I've been taking the last couple of days.
You're like LeBron. No wonder you love LeBron.
Yeah, that Nasonex really is doing it, I'm sure.
He's looking at Bonte. He's seeing three hosts right now.
He's seeing three hats.
Three goats.
That Claritin's hitting too hard this morning.
He's seeing three crowns on my head right now. I mean, come on.
One of them's Jay Schrader. One of them's Ricky Schroeder.
You're just like LeBron. You blamed your dad and your brother, Deli boy.
Well, it can't be my fault.
Oh, I didn't kill. You know, we were shooting BBs at the raccoons. Actually, my father and my brother. It's like, oh man,
they were on the roof at the neighbor's house, and people were shooting BB guns at them.
Oh my god,
not a high powered one.
Do not get caught stealing with Joe Shasky, boy.
PETA's not liking the show. You know, between the rats on the table and the raccoon talk. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, what did Eddie Johnson say? Well, I have a coat made of raccoon.
He was kidding.
He said he was kidding.
But no, I don't know about that.
So Eddie's got he's got that raccoon
fur. Tongue in cheek.
He's got that raccoon fur.
Well, I'm now imagining like the Davy Crockett full outfit from him would be pretty funny.
It would be sick.
Do you know who Davy Crockett is?
Yes, I know who Davy Crockett is.
I know who Davy Crockett is.
With his long little shotgun or whatever it was.
Yo.
Come on, do I know who Davy Crockett is? I'm not a...
King of the Wild Frontier.
Billy Bob Thornton played him in the movie The Alamo.
Mm. Billy Bob Thornton, I saw him. Is he going through a midlife crisis?
For the last 25 years? Yeah.
I mean, he's so great in these movies, but damn. Like, when you see him out and about, I'm like, dude.
He's getting older. He's 70.
Buddy makes you do some crazy things, man.
He's like Steph, man. He's getting older.
Buddy makes you do some crazy, crazy things.
By the way, Bad Santa, all-time Christmas movie.
So good.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No. It's a movie that takes place during Christmas.
I would agree with Spadoni on that.
Why do people go so crazy over that?
People
like get out of it. Like James Kincaid, who works with the Golden State Warriors, who we've iced out on this show. We don't rock.
Yeah, we're RC Davis.
We're RC Davis. Yeah. Team RC Davis. Anti Jimbo.
I'm agnostic in this.
No, because Jimbo's anti Barry Bonds, so I'm anti Padres and anti White Sox. And he jumps on. I saw him slip a little tweet Thursday night. Kyle Shanahan has lost the locker room. I said, this little hater. I'd rather be the White Sox. But you know what, though? But you know, Jimbo, who we've iced out.
What did you think of your Garrett Crochet White Sox trade?
Oh, to the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, your White Sox.
Great move for the Red Sox. Not a good move for Will Venable and the White Sox, that's for sure.
Okay, keep going.
That's for sure. I lost my train of thought now. Where was I going?
Die Hard James Kincaid.
Oh, yeah, he got mad at me because I was like, yo, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. He goes, you need to go seek help. Like, he was like, angry about that. People get so... Why do we get so every year? It's Die Hard a Christmas movie. One of all, it's one of the laziest and dumbest conversations in the last 15 years in America. But like, why do people care? What do you like?
Stupid. I think it's Home just Alone, so dumb. Miracle on 34th Street and
Christmas Story.
Christmas Story is a good Elf. Now is in the lexicon. I would throw obviously Christmas Vacation, which I believe is the power rank number one.
Chevy Chase was great.
He's amazing. He did such a great movie. The jokes he doesn't miss. My guy was shooting true shooting percentage of 1,000.
He was unbelievable.
He was incredible.
82 at when they come out with the turkey and the turkey best. Just like
I love he's emptying his RV into the sewer.
Right. Oh,
I can't say the line, but it was full. And
Speaking of RVs. So, before we get to 60 Seconds Celebrity, I don't know if you ever got through this, Spadoni. I don't know if you got through this yet. Maybe not yet, but sometimes I'm like, baby Tess, you need to use the bathroom before you leave. And sometimes she'll fight it. And then we'll get halfway through, and she has to use the bathroom. Well, we're around the RVs over there at Lake Merced, and we just say we had to do some things.
Got to drop trowel.
There are porta potties on that.
Yeah, but
route.
We could make it a porta potty. She's like, I gotta go.
That's when
the baby's gotta go.
You gotta go.
We gotta do a bob and squat. It happens.
It'd be like that sometimes.
But the RVs is all around there. A couple guys coming out of the RV said hello, and I said hello. How you doing? How's it going? Life is good. Stay sad.
As they're dumping their illegal waste.
As they're eating raccoons.
Yeah,
eating
a lot of raccoons. Barbecuing they are. On the expressway. I mean, like, 311
Shasky. I think of 311 Shasky every time.
My
I swear
aunt
to
lives
God.
Right there. It's kind of like, it's off the hook over there, dude. No,
I think about 311 Shasky
every
time.
That's why the drones
time.
Are there, right?
Mayor sometimes I think about, sometimes I think about just calling 311 myself. Hey, they're barbecuing raccoon. 60 seconds of celebrating, please.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Guys, it was like West Side Story on ice last night with the Sharks and Jets taking each other on. Jets, best team in the NHL right now, actually. And Macklin, he was feeling pretty last night. First, he helped Tyler Toffoli light the lamp in the first period. But then Toffoli returned the favor in the second period, setting up this goal from Celebrini.
Sends it up to the point for Jake Walnut. Still on the power play. Celebrini!
Against the best team in the NHL and also got an assist?
He did. This was his seventh multi-point game of the year. Is the fastest in Sharks history. 22 games for a player to have multiple points in a game. And 18 years old, too, for an 18-year-old. Fabian Zetterlund gave the Sharks a brief lead in the third. Jets rallied back, though, for the win. Did get a little West Side Story, though, in that third period. Nito Niederreiter tried to start a scuffle with Celebrini, you know, fists only, and oh, they were not feeling it, the rest of the team. They swarmed around this guy onto the boards. Just a fun time overall.
What was that name you just tried to pronounce?
I don't even know what that
Nino Niederreiter.
Oh my God.
It's Swiss. I don't know.
That could go
I
a little hairy.
That story, they had knives.
I started getting Michelle Beadle vibes after a while with that name. Just leave it alone.
That's why I said it very slowly.
You notice whenever
shout
I say
Denver,
Denver
like Nino
I say
taking
Nuggets
over the
very slowly. The Denver Nuggets. I do it so slow, dude. I swear to God, I've been thinking about that name for 5 years now.
The well, you've Denver, had some slip-ups. I mean,
no.
We don't need to get in there. Anyway, yeah, Sharks lost. Celebrating 2 points.
Hey, shout out
to bring that up when that happened the other week.
Swiss all time. I looked at him. He looked at me. He turned whiter than me.
I'm also a big Andrew Wiggins fan, Bonta.
Yeah, I am too. What did I say? I didn't say Andrew Wiggins.
We'll talk about it on the other side. We got to go.
What are you talking about?
Getting wiggy.
What are you talking about? 888-957-9570. Do we have a drone problem? 2, do you eat raccoons? 3, do you like the Schroeder fit? And I guess we'll hear from Kurt Warner on Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. I guess we'll do that.
I have thoughts on Kurt Warner.
I wanted to stay away from it for a long time, but we did because I'm in a good mood. There's nothing worse than talking contracts during an actual season. So shout out Charles Barkley on that one. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
It's Olazan, Bonte's flexologist at Stretch Lab. I wanted to wish you happy holidays and thank you for all your support you have given Stretch Lab. Bonte, keep stretching and keep reaching for the stars. Now back to Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte. We are your biggest fans.
Whoa! How did we get that?
That was incredible.
That was incredible. It was so good. Hey. That was professional, Alizan. Wow, her mom does a great job now. The hotel's over there. She's part of that hotel thing. We won't talk about that. But they got me for my birthday some crazy socks because they look at the sock game on television. They got me some cool socks.
Can you play the...
That's a hell of a... Where did we get that from? Did she just call in? Who did that?
I don't know. It's incredible.
It is incredible. That was one of our best rejoins.
I will want to hear the real Mariah Carey version of this so we could sing it. We want you to come down to the Doobies for Christmas. We want you there. Wait. All I want for Christmas is Doobs.
That sounds better. The instrumental's better with you singing over it than you singing over the lyrics.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I love this song. This song makes me feel cheery.
Merry Christmas, Chassie. I gotta go.
This doesn't feel... You don't like play the beat. This doesn't get you fired up.
No, Christmas music doesn't fire me up.
This song.
you know. I told you, man. I'm like Ricky Bobby's dad.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes when things are too positive and too chipper, kind of drives me crazy. I'm like, there's no way where that happened.
You need the sad Christmas songs like Last Christmas or Blue Christmas from Elvis.
Nah, I just need some Nipsey Hussle in my life. And this is sad.
It is. It's got a good beat, though.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's like... It's like you're that boy in a club and you're by yourself and you're striking out and you're just like, damn, I can't get a number. I can't get a date. I'm offering drinks for this girl. She says no. And you just feel sad for her.
Sounds like this has happened in your life.
You go home empty-headed and then she can know. You go home empty-headed and then she can know. You go home and you're looking at Baseball Reference saying, wow, Barry Bonds stole 52 bases in 1992. Go figure. Yeah. This is sad.
I gave you my heart. I wish I could sing.
I do wish I could sing.
You know, I really do. That's a great talent. I wish I could sing.
That is a great talent.
You know?
Being able to sing is great.
There's a guy on the Masked Singer right now who plays defense for the LA Rams.
Who, Aaron Donald?
No, some random guy I'd never heard of.
He's on the Masked Singer.
And he's really good.
You know who my boy Wet had a great voice. One time we were so drunk, we walked home from... like 3rd and Gary on the way to Fillmore.
Wow, that's a walk.
It's a walk. And he sung the whole time.
Oh.
He sung the whole time. And it got on my nerves, but the dude had a voice. The guy, I don't know if he still has a voice. You know, probably too many Phillies and, you know, Swisher Sweets. But he had a voice. He had a great voice. Guy could sing. Missed his calling. Could have been the next Luther Vandross. Could have been the next... I'm not going to go there. Well, Music Soul Child. I'll go Music Soul Child.
I called Sam yesterday and I said, hey, look, you know, if Corbin Burns signs with the Giants, I might make a song. I might make Amazing Ace. Because I really do want to do like a church hymn.
Paulie Mack would be proud of you.
Ace.
Paulie Mack would be proud of you.
Yeah, but he does weak songs.
Radio Hall of Famer.
He's done some bangers over the years.
Oh, he's got plenty of bangers.
But he didn't create the genre of sports songs. People have been doing it in South Florida, in New York, in Chicago. Everyone's done it.
Well, it doesn't matter who made it. It's what you do at the work, and he had great
Absolutely.
Work.
He ain't got a rap like me, though.
I don't know, man. The Lincecum one that was based off Panama, that's hard to beat.
He's got endless. He's got like 5 albums worth.
Probably.
Just bangers. So you just try to get your Paulie back on. I smell you, pimp.
I like you're trying to fill that void, though, Shaq.
Well, you are trying to fill that void.
No, this is the next generation. No, I'm gassing Shaz Gepper. I want more Shasky songs. Well,
by the way, Steiny's going to be, you know, he really relies on his computer in front of me, and it's just crapped out over the last hour.
Huh?
Yeah, Steiny does. He's over the last hour. I got my own laptop.
Hey, run him over.
I got
over
my
again.
Laptop.
Run him over. Again.
I mean, this is what we do all the time, right? Run people over. But I know he really relies on his laptop. Yeah, I mean, I do too for the text line, but I don't have the text line
what
up right now.
What is going on that computer?
I don't know. It's just like a black screen. It's just been frozen for like an hour. And I just restarted.
Were you looking up on that computer?
No, it's been doing that. It did that to me. The pregame show has happened the last couple times, too.
What was I looking up?
Yeah. I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
No, I wasn't looking up raccoons. I wasn't looking up raccoons. Maybe I was looking up cheetahs. See if we get somebody to come by Friday.
Maybe I was looking to answer that question.
Maybe I was looking at their lineup. Not Steve Kerr's 35.
I wanted to go to Las Vegas.
But the 35 down to cheetahs.
I wanted to go to Las Vegas.
Or Garden of Eden. I mean, we're just wacky. We're wacky today. It is a wacky Wednesday / Warriors Wednesday. 888-957-9570. Do we have a drone problem? It's been the theme of the show. It feels like we have a drone problem, Shasky, in New Jersey, as you mentioned. And everybody's losing their minds right now. Oakland, as we heard from Cam and Antioch, the drones ain't hitting the hood, so that's a good thing. The hood is safe. 83 Slater has a fog problem in the El Dorado Hills. Eddie Johnson's like, yeah, I read about it last night, and I just kind of got a chuckle out of it. I don't know why people are going crazy. And then, you know, does anybody have raccoon on their Christmas? Are they going to evolve or implement raccoon into their Christmas spread? Maybe in Arkansas, Jerry Jones, Xavier Leggett.
I'm out on that.
Shasky, the Shasky household, raccoon?
Out on that. Unless it's Super Mario Brothers.
You need that raccoon suit in Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, you know who had a basically had like the raccoon suit when he played the 49ers? Kurt Warner.
Weiss.
You like that, don't you?
Well, no, I've tried to.
Well, he was amazing when he played the Niners.
Well, raccoons, I don't consider to be amazing.
Now, but. Kurt Warner's done a great job as a broadcaster. I want to go back in time. Young Bonte, young Joe. I dismissed the initial greatest show on turf team. They were excellent in terms of the weaponry, but Kurt Warner, I thought, was a fad, right? Initially, because in my mind, the Rams were never supposed to be good, and the Niners were always supposed to be better than them, because throughout my entire life, that's what always was, you know, the end result. The Niners were better than the Rams, and I remember distinctively watching Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holt, and I believe it was Ricky Prohl originally, come into Candlestick and just slice and dice us. I mean, Marshall Faulk was one of the best players I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like, yeah, it's not because of Kurt Warner. It's not because of Kurt Warner. Because I just thought it was, there's no way this is sustainable. Right. Then I watched Mark Bulger with similar weapons control that offense, and it wasn't the same. It wasn't even close.
Although Mike Martz did make one of the most boneheaded decisions in playoff football history against Carolina, where they decided to just run the clock instead of go for the win. It was, you want to talk about clock management one-on-one? Young Spadoni, young Love, and go back and look at that Panthers-Rams game. I was happy because I hated the Rams, but I was like, wow, Mike Martz should never speak about the game of football ever again, although we've booked him many times on his show. I mean, we respect the game.
Friend of the program.
And getting to where I'm going with
okay,
with,
yeah, we're wondering when the play is going to. It's like a cross-country flight.
He
business class for this one.
You know, he views the game through his own prism, which I understand almost every guy does, right? But then I watched old man Kurt Warner come in with an Arizona Cardinal organization that had never won anything in my life at any point. And I watched how good he was. And
when I saw him throw that ball in Arizona,
Bonte, the way he would hold onto the ball in the pocket and deliver an absolute rocket over the middle, getting smashed in the face mask, and then his ability at the line to kind of be the whole conductor of the orchestra, he was in full control.
I think we overlook his New York Giant days. They were 7-1, and they gave the job to Eli Manning because they needed to play Eli, apparently. But they were 7-1. Remember that?
I'm just going off what I saw at Candlestick.
I'm just saying,
right? You know,
I'm just looking at.
Okay, I didn't know.
With the New York Giants, he was 7-1. I remember having him in fantasy, and just kind of that's when League Pass started happening, a Sunday ticket or whatnot. He was throwing, but like Warner to fall off. Maybe we look too deep into it because it's the New York media and they overblow everything, but. They were 7-1.
He was amazing with the Arizona Cardinals. And what he did there solidified, like, oh, yeah, he is on a short list of guys I fear next to Brett Favre. You know what I mean? In terms of the ball's in his hands, 5 minutes to go, he's winning that game. He's winning that game. He's going to do something to find a way to win the game. He had basically made me submit. But his arm strength was so underrated. His pocket IQ to feel the rush and to deliver a strike with a guy in his face was unbelievable. Touch, unbelievable.
So why are we
and then
talking,
his mastery at the line.
Why are we talking Kurt Warner here?
Well, the reason we're talking Kurt Warner is because he's talked about Brock Purdy, and I think that he views Brock Purdy through his lens of being an underlooked, you know, pass-by guy. And I just think that when he came into the league, Kurt Warner, we didn't have every single game on television and the scouting and the film and the obsession with the quarterbacks and how the quarterback market is just inflated beyond belief. And I feel like he's still viewing Brock Purdy through his lens. And it's like, actually, Kurt, you were definitely the most rare of rare, but you were way better in terms of a physical talent than anyone wants to admit.
Okay.
I think it's jaded some of his opinions on Brock.
So which opinion?
Well, I just think he sees everything of the discourse around Brock as dismissal because of draft status. And I just think that the skill set that Kurt had was so different from what Brock Purdy had. And I feel like he feels he needs the right to come to defend Brock. Brock's a really good player, but I feel like he goes over the top to defend him because of the fact that they both were overlooked.
There are going to be some games where I throw 5 interceptions where Lamar Jackson probably won't throw 5 interceptions because where I know I've got to do something with my right arm, he says, I don't have to do that. I can go run around and I can do something else and do something positive for my team. I couldn't do that. I was stuck, you know, because of my limitations. And I understood that. And I knew there were going to be games like that. But I also knew there was going to be games where I was going to see it faster and I was going to make more plays and I was going to be more accurate and I was going to do those things. and that would carry me. But in those games where, you know, all those things just, you know, weren't easy and they were hard and I wasn't on the top of my game, I understood that, hey, those are going to happen. They are going to happen because I am very reliant on the things around me to, you know, to allow me to have success. I'm not going to go out there and be Josh Allen and be able to run around and run through five guys. And if I don't see it, you know, run for 30 yards and get a touchdown. It's just not going to happen. And so most guys in the league are like that, like me, that have limitations. And we have got to win with this one kind of skill set and strength set that we have. And anything that falls outside of that is going to be more of a challenge for us.
So that's Kurt Warner on the challenges of Brock Purdy and that he has some physical limitations, which most quarterbacks do have. We see it, whether it's the mental stability, whether it's the arm strength, whether it's, you know, the anticipation, the footwork. There's always something, right, unless you're the golden four. That's why everybody's always looking for a quarterback. It's hard to find quarterbacks, especially good quarterbacks. So we have one here, and I believe we have one in San Francisco, but he's had a down year. Why has he had a down year? Well, there's a lot of factors to why he's had a down year. And I think what Kurt Warner is trying to explain is when you don't have those rare traits that a Josh Allen does or a Lamar Jackson or a Burrow or Mahomes, you're going to struggle at times if you don't have the right pieces in place. And now, can you overcome a game or two without a wide receiver? Sure. Can you overcome a game or two without a left tackle? Sure. But can you overcome big stretches without playmakers, without linemen, without a good defense? I don't think so. And that's why the Niners, in my opinion, are sitting at 6-8. There's a number of factors on why they're 6-8. And again, like Anthony said about the Warriors, Anthony Slater joined us, and he's talking about the Warriors. Like, look, it's not like they're getting blown out. They're playing in close games, and they can't finish. They can't execute the last 3 to 4 minutes. Well, outside of the two-game road trip against Green Bay, which you had Brendan Allen starting one game, I don't think anybody anticipated him playing well. He had
whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
And started a game at 3 years. I don't care if he was Joe Burrow's backup. He's not a good quarterback, all right? And you go to the snow in Buffalo and... I mean, come on, man. Brock Purdy's coming back with the shoulder issue and the arm issue. It was a schedule loss. I mean, they were going to lose that game, I felt like, if he was healthy. Buffalo's a tough team, especially at Orchard Park. But we look at the rest of the season, it's not like they're getting blown out here. So those little margins for error that you had last season, you don't have that with so many guys out. So I'm kind of with Kurt Warner here is that we're jumping the gun. Now, he did react to Baldy saying that he'd flip Purdy for Darnold yesterday right here on the Morning Rose. Here's Kurt Warner's reaction to that.
What about the last 2 years with Brock Purdy? Like, you know, I remember I kind of went through St. Louis
too, is that, you know, went to a couple Super Bowls, won a couple MVPs, and then we had a down year after our, you know, after our second Super Bowl, you know, and people were asking, well, are you going to, you know, change quarterbacks and whatever? And I just remember Mike March at one point in the season going, well, are you guys a part of the amnesia crowd? Like, have you forgot, you know, what happened the last 3 years and how good Kurt was? Like, we're not just going to panic because we've had a bad stretch here, but it's almost like that's what we're doing in San Francisco. Let's forget about these last 2 years because this year hasn't been as good. And then the same with Sam Darnold. Let's forget about everything else he's done in the league because he's been wildly inconsistent. And although he's shown glimpses, he's never been able to put it together. And now he's having this incredible year in Minnesota, and we're already ready to say, oh, let's flop him and let's take this guy because he's having a great year, even though he's never shown the ability to put two great years together back to back. So it's just, it's so funny how we have such recency bias on so many different things in this league.
So, like, I think the point of view that he's coming from is the point of view of his job got taken by Mark Bolger. And then he lost his job to a young Eli Manning. And then, ironically, he took a young Matt Leinart's job in Arizona. But when you have that track record, you're going to feel sensitive when you see someone put the body of work that Brock has put out there and people are saying things like that. I think he's, and again, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying he sees it through his prism. It's a very fascinating conversation.
Well, yeah, I don't even know about that, though. I don't know if it's through his prism on what he went through as a professional quarterback, but he is right about recency bias. That does exist. That does exist in sports. I mean, at one time, there was questions about maybe replacing Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and he lingered out there in free agency. You know, Alex Smith has gotten replaced over and over and over again. Now, no matter how great he is, he's gotten replaced. But recency bias does come into play. It came into play with Kaepernick. It came into play with Jimmy G. It's coming into play with Brock Purdy, for crying out loud. We've seen it happen to Jared Goff. Jared Goff was raked over the coals, and we thought Detroit got holes for that deal from Matt Stafford. And it turns out Jared Goff is in a pretty good situation and is playing pretty good football. So I think he's speaking at the whole nature of, like, boy, a couple bad games here, and uh-oh, what's going on here? And we don't look at the total body of work anymore. We look at, what have you done for me lately? That's become sports 101. What have you done for me lately?
I agree.
Just like the Podzimski conversation, look how quickly that's flipped.
I agree, but I think it's not even just the fans, because the fans are absolutely an element in all of this. And any front office that says that they're not, I'm not saying they're a big factor, but they're a factor. It might be the smallest of small percentages, but I do believe fans are a factor. Jobs are a bigger factor. You guys are always, like, I'm talking about coaches and GMs. They're worried about their own job. And so that's why all these decisions have been sped up like crazy. The days of hey, give a guy 3 and 4 years, that's what they did with Daniel Jones. And what's going to end up happening for the GM and the head coach in New York?
They may get fired.
Right? Now, Daniel, I would argue Daniel's had a long runway. They should have known better.
Right.
But part of, they thought that, hey, he had a really great year. We went to the playoffs, even though the numbers weren't that great. And they're like, we can replicate that. Mm-hmm. And they stuck with it too long. And now everyone's like, yeah, everyone's getting blown out. You know? So I think it's not just fans. It's the owners, it's the coaches,
impatience.
It's the GMs, yes. Exactly.
Well, it's impatience.
And the money has made it to where I can't just stick on a guy
right. Like
Brian Daboll, because I have so much money coming to me because of television deals, I'll just blow him out and find another coach.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Owners are like fans,
yes.
Right? They're basically fans. And, you know, Joe Lickett immediately is like, look, I'm a fan. I want to win. I was a fan of the game. But he's had to exhibit patience with a lot of situations here, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Jed York, I think, has done a great job of exhibiting patience with this coaching staff, with this GM, with this front office or whatnot. And he's doled out a lot of money, a lot of straight cash, front-loaded cash, coming straight to the bank account. What did he give up? $96 million to Trent and Brandon Ayuk. So patience does come into place with ownership and fans. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to Brock Purdy, how can we not just look at our own situation here? Shanahan's not going anywhere. Lynch is not going anywhere. And we see things that are happening. Is Debo the same player? I think we all agree Debo's not the same player. Has Nick Bosa played up to his potential? No, he hasn't. Fred Warner's played with a fractured ankle. So when you look at these close losses, whether it's to Arizona, Seattle, the Rams, Seattle get whoever it is, when you're losing these close games, the L.A. Rams on Thursday night, heck, they got swept by the Rams. You see the margin for errors, and you see that, okay, I see what's going on here. Did Brock Purdy play well against the Rams this last Thursday night? No, he didn't. But did he play well against the Rams the first time around? Damn, we said that was his best game possibly of his career, considering that we were waiting for him to play without Deebo and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. And he threw dime after dime after dime after dime. Now, he missed Brandon Ayuk wide open, but he had a very, very good game. There's context to every situation and every sports team every single year. We were just talking about the Warriors winning the championship the other year, a couple years ago. And you brought up Phoenix losing in game 7. What if Ja doesn't get hurt against Memphis? I believe the Warriors still win. Maybe. Chris Paul, hamstring, Western Conference Finals.
I think about it all the time.
So context matters or all this stuff.
Kevin Love and Kyrie in the first ever finals.
Exactly.
I think about, you know, hey, what if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is allowed to be a DH and not have to play right field in game 1 of the 2010 World Series? Like, what if Jose Guillen is on the roster and it's not Cody Ross? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think about those things all the time. I guess where it comes down, though, and I think this Niner team is a little different. Similar to the Warriors, you've got this window, right, of this championship core, and there was this immediacy of winning it all right now. Right now. And if you don't, it's viewed as a huge failure. If the Giants don't win the World Series this year, Giants fans, is it some giant failure? Nah, not really.
Is it a failure with the Warriors?
What?
I would say
for a lot of fans, it is. But for a lot of fans, it isn't. Because I think a lot of fans are like, hey, man, my cupeth runneth over when it comes to Warrior Championships. I didn't think I'd see one. We got 4.
Yeah.
It's a great run. It's come and gone. But I do believe a lot of fans have been spoiled by how great they've been. And they think, like us Niner fans growing up in the 80s, birthright is starting the year on the doorstep of a championship.
Well, that was a conversation we're going to have today. We'll get to Damon and SF in just a second. A conversation we're going to have today was about, are we entitled as a fan base? Because since 2010, think about the Bay Area sports scene. San Francisco Giants have 3 championships since 2010. Warriors have 4 championships. The Niners have gone to multiple Super Bowls and competed for multiple NFC crowns. The Sharks had a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. They played deep in the Western Conference playoffs a number of years. Hell, the Oakland A's have been AL West division titles and have gotten to the playoffs. I think our market, when you compare it to other markets across the country, ask New York how their teams have done. How many championships does New York have since 2010?
Ask Florida.
All right?
South Florida, specifically.
South Florida. How about, I don't know, outside of Boston, who has the Patriots run, they've got a Celtics championship, they got a couple of Red Sox championships, I believe they have a Boston Bruins championship. But ask Chicago. They've got the Cubs World Series, but what have the Bulls done? What have the Bears done? What have the White Sox done since 2010?
Not much.
You know, the Blackhawks. Now, I think the Blackhawks have a couple cups, but okay,
and they
cool.
came with a lot of scrutiny because of stuff.
Yeah. So, L.A., they've got the Dodgers. They've had the Lakers. But the Lakers, since 2010, have been a disappointment for
they
the most part.
They got the Rams championship.
Yeah, they got the Mickey Mouse championship, but that's that. The Clippers haven't done anything.
No.
USC's been a failure.
No, we're on a very short list.
So I think the Bay Area fan, I think a lot of Bay Area fans are grateful for what has happened since 2010, but think about that. We've kind of become entitled out here and spoiled with the success. Maybe the bar has changed. Maybe the bar has been raised here. But since 2010, outside of Boston, I don't think there's another region in this country that can boast the success that we've had in this region when it comes to our teams.
I think it has created a spoiled fan base. I would argue with you that the Niners of the 80s kind of spoiled all of us and kind of ruined, like my dad would be miserable when the Niners didn't win at all. Like it would ruin the whole winter and spring.
But didn't we have to recalibrate after
no question
the ADD years? And
of course.
Think about like 05 to 2010 in
but
the
I,
Bay Area.
But what I'm saying is I don't think that concept is new. I think it was there way back in the day.
Right.
Maybe not for all the teams, but the other element, and I think I can't unsee this, when we used to watch sports, you'd get a couple games on TV a week, whether it's your team mm-hmm. or the nation, and you'd have a couple games. Now, I can count on my hand in the last month, okay, on a couple of fingers, how many times a night there isn't a game somewhere that I can watch on YouTube TV or whatever of somebody in the league. Before, it would be like, you'd have your Sunday night baseball game. You'd have a Monday night football game. And yeah, whatever was locally broadcast on Sunday, you'd get one or two games, depending on the blackout rules and whatnot. Baseball, they didn't televise home games. It was just road games for the Giants. And you'd get maybe the game of the week. So like now, I think the ability to see all the teams out there, you're like, oh, that's a great player. That's a great, I want, the way they're running their teams, how I want my team run. And I think it has jaded us. It's jaded us a lot. I think it's jaded all sports fans, not just this market. And it's made us long for what the grass is greener on that team.
Well, let me tell you, Bay Area fans, we've had some pretty good grass out here. Literally, you know, in the cannabis clubs, but also with our teams.
Do you get what
our teams? Yeah, I do. But that's why we got to have perspective here. We've got to have perspective. You can't just be looking at, like, again, Chicago's one of the biggest markets in this country, in the world. Their teams have sucked.
Football
team's been awful. Basketball team's been awful. White Sox have been awful. Blackhawks have been up and down. And the Cubs have the one World Series, and they redid Wrigley, and they don't care because they're the lovable losers.
They just traded Bellinger.
You know, they're lovable losers. But also, Northwestern has sucked in football for the most part.
Marquette.
DePaul basketball. Marquette's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, I thought Chicago claimed it.
No, DePaul. DePaul.
Okay.
So you got Loyola, who had a good run to the Final Four. Sister Jean, shout out to her. She's celebrated her birthday not too long. But also, Dallas, the Stars have been good. The Cowboys have been a joke.
Rangers got the championship.
They got the one championship.
That's it, one.
And the Mavericks got one with Dirk in, what was it, 2010, 2011? When Dirk Nowitzki went crazy?
JJ 2011, Barea.
Yeah. So their region has not been good. What about Houston outside of the Astros? They had a good run, the Astros.
Absolutely. Rockets got nothing.
They got nothing. They competed, but they got nothing. What about the Texans? Got nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So I think in our region,
Atlanta,
we've had it really good out here in the Bay Area. Really good when you think about it since 2010. And I think that we just need to exhibit some patience when it comes to these teams before we start running players in and out of here. And the one thing is, too, have you gotten any sign or any indication that our ownership groups are not trying to win? The Giants, that's changing now with Buster Posey. That's changed.
So I think.
But like Lacob and York? Have they showed any indication that they have, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's
because I see
point.
That a lot. Like, they're not trying to win. They're not really trying to win. They just want to cash checks. I don't know about that.
Well, but here's where I go back and forth on. So you could tell me how you feel. But, like, when you are investing emotion and money into the teams, which we all know, like, right now times are hard, right? People are like, I'm lucky. I feel like I've got a pretty decent job, but like even my family, like we can't afford everything for everyone at Christmas time. Like we all feel the pinch somewhere, right, in our lives. Mm. And when you prioritize going to games and buying gear and paying for all the streaming services to watch your favorite team, there's a little more of an investment than there was back in the 70s and 80s when the cost of just being a sports fan wasn't as high as it is today. And so I do understand, and again, it's a smaller level. There's just a, like, hey, I'm supporting you financially, which you are, right? You're a consumer. Like, I need you to care as much as me and make these moves because I want to win, because I'm emotionally, fiscally, like, invested, and my family's invested, and my happiness is invested in you, like, doing well. Are they trying? I think we are lucky. These teams are trying.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Unlike the A's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, are these teams, you know how many hours they spent at the facility? You know how many hours they spent away from their families? Think about that just for a second. Let's have some perspective here. Players, coaches, GMs, how many hours of the week is Dunleavy on the phone, for crying out loud?
But
John Lynch, scouting Ohio State, Columbus, South Bend, Indiana, he's all over the place. So I do think the fan who is investing money into these apps and these tickets or whatever it is, also time, because I think time is important.
Time is important.
Yes. Time is important. But I do think I want to and I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything for any fan base out here or any organization, but I think we underrate how much these guys do try to win. Jobs are on the line. Legacies are on the line. Sleepless hours, sleepless nights, over and over. Traveling cross country, back to the West Coast, back from the West Coast to the East Coast. They are trying very, very hard, and I think we just got to have some perspective here to say, you know what? We've had it good since 2010. Let's trust the process and trust that they are being urgent about winning some damn championships.
I guess where it gets difficult, and very few people are season ticket holders of your fan base. Like, we're talking fractions of percentages here, but when people spend a lot of money and they prioritize their Sundays, and again, you can't guarantee a team's going to have success. Things are out of their control. But when you raise prices, and the prices are what they are because of the success that the team's had, there's an expectation by your fan base. Oh, if you're going to charge, and I don't know what these, I'm just random. If you're going to charge 20% more for tickets and parking, well, then you better be in the playoffs, and I better not have half my schedule not matter financially and meet the bang for the buck. And again, I understand this is like, it's sports. You buy a ticket. Yeah, Curry might roll an ankle and he might not be playing in 2 weeks. You know, you buy a ticket, your team might have your quarterback go down, and the month of December isn't relevant.
I want to get to Damon and SF real quick, Lubman. Look at the Damon and SF right now because I want to hear what he has to say about recency bias. Damon, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Bonte?
What's up?
All right, man? I'll be real quick. So, Star Warner talking about recency bias and, you know, his perspective with Brock Purdy. I'm going to flip that to the other side and say that, you know, you can't really have that recency bias with Brock Purdy because you don't really have that body of work to really look and say, you know, recency bias, because he gave us a year and a half of really good, you know, good play. And this year really was just a question mark. So it's too recent, you know what I mean, to say that, you know, that there's recency bias. I mean, you got to go off of, you know, what you see here going forward, because it does seem like that the league and that the defenses have adjusted to him, and he hasn't been able to make that adjustment. I mean, are we going to look at Debo and say, well, man, back then, you know, Debo was killing it. You know what I mean? He could still bring that forward. Nobody's saying that about Debo right now. We didn't say that about Armstead. We looked at the body of work that they put out on the field that season and said, you know what? We need more.
It's a good point. Like, I look at Kirk Cousins, his body of work is good. The last, like, 15 games, I'm like, yeah, he can't play in the NFL anymore.
Heck, even the last five games. Speaking of five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I think it's a great conversation. I'd like to chew on it some more. It's because I, on some level, I completely acknowledge we're all out of control. All of us fans, me included. I want championships in every sport all the time, knowing it'll never happen.
Yep.
But there's also, like, I don't know. There's also, you have to have a payoff when you're charging the prices that everyone is charging. And again, I understand that everyone can afford it.
Right.
It's just tough. It's sports. Right. That's part of the beauty of sports.
But look,
though,
when the Niners suck, you can get tickets for $20 in the first left. So the prices do drop. But they've gone to the Super Bowl in four NFC Championship games in 5 years.
No,
and I tried to relocate my season tickets. There was nothing available. So the demand for 49er football has never been, it's at an all-time high. It's like we're back in the 80s and 90s. So that's the price of having a good team. It is. So anyway.
But it is cyclical, because you could have got like $5 tickets or $20 tickets to go to the Rams game. It was raining. It was a Thursday night. They had just lost a couple of games. Anyway. Sammy.
I'm looking at the TV, and Pat McAfee's interviewing the SMU coach. He's interviewing the Indiana coach, and it just got me more and more fired up for the college football playoff. It begins on Friday.
It's going to be fun.
You know, Indiana at Notre Dame. And then Saturday in the morning, SMU at Penn State.
What about NSC Ohio State?
I don't even know who's going to win that game. I mean, it's unbelievable theater. The other game, what's the other game? Clemson to Texas. I mean, it took them about 35, 40 years. I'm not going to go back in time because it would have been great in the 90s. But we finally got it. We got a 12-team playoff. All we've been waiting for. Now I want a 16 teams. I'm not going to complain.
I know. Miami would
give it a few years.
In a few years, Miami would have been in it.
It would have been 17.
But you know what? It is what it is. You got the Pop-Tart Bowl. We got the college football playoff.
For that.
Let's go, baby. College football playoff is here and near and dear to our hearts. Let's go.
My fault thought is I totally botched a Macklin Celebrini stat during 60 seconds of Celebrini, so I'm going to try and redo it here. Last night was his 7th multi-point game of the season, the most ever for an 18-year-old in Sharks history, passing Jeff Friesen. Took Macklin just 22 games to break that record. And, oh man, Macklin Celebrini, those no-look passes, those are fun to watch.
Those are fun to watch.
Who's better with a no-look pass, him or Steph?
Oh!
Watch out, Steph.
What's
I mean, the best athlete in the Bay Area is coming. It might be Macklin Celebrini in a few years' time. Eddie Johnson, though, my final thought today is Eddie Johnson still thinks Stephen Curry is a number one on a contending team. We'll see.
That's a no from you.
I said we'll see.
By the way,
it's a young man's game is all I'm going to say.
I got a DM from Turtle Pie for the Doobie Awards. Not asking you to give names, but how many host producer gift bags should I press?
One for me.
Turtle Pie, that'd be 5. I got a big box of goodies to pass out. If you need a gift bag for a homie or two, let me know. I got you.
Yeah, at least 5.
The Doobie Awards will be a bit cloudy, if you know what I mean. Outside of the restaurant, not inside.
Many clouds of smoke.
Inside of the restaurant, not...
A lot of fog.
Outside of the restaurant, not inside. All right, that's last 5
for us. I can't believe you said that.
Drones, raccoons, be careful of both. Be weary of both. Raccoons and drones. Be careful. That's Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.